Hi, this is Marshall Latham here.
And for this side trip, I'm going to step away from fiction for a little bit and read you a tribute that I wrote for my mother several years ago. And it still applies today. So if you'd like, you can come with me and journey into a piece of my life. These Things Combined by Marshall Latham. I intended this to be a charming narrative taken from a personal childhood experience in which my mother taught me a profound truth, or perhaps a dramatic moment of bonding between mother and son, something worthy of a moving storyline. However, due to my limited memory or inability to concentrate, I could not pinpoint that striking event in my life. It wasn't as if I didn't try to come up with the perfect anecdote. I pondered on the subject for several days. The first thing that came to mind was from my senior year in high school. Our football team had just lost their state championship by 2 points. I had worked really hard that year to become a starting offensive lineman. I remembered crying as the team walked to the bus, and Mom was waiting there to give me a supportive, reassuring hug. But there had to be something more significant than that. I mean, after all, it was only a football game. I remembered waking up in the hospital with a broken arm and seeing Mom sitting in the room watching over me. But that scene seemed too cliché. I remembered another time in the same hospital, yet on this occasion I was waiting for Mom to wake. She was recovering from surgery, and I was in the waiting room with Dad. There was really nothing to worry about. It was a reasonably routine operation as those things go. Yet, in such circumstances, one can't help but wonder, what if? Mom's surgery was performed just after I returned from my mission, so I tried to recall events and feelings as we parted at the Missionary Training Center or when we said goodbye at the airport as I left for California. Of course I remembered those things, but I thought longer upon the smaller moments before my departure. For example, how surprised yet pleased she was when I began preparing for my mission, or how nervous she was to discover where I was to be called. I thought of the evening walks we took during that time, talking about plans and preparations. But where was my story? Where was that dazzling piece of shared history that defined our relationship? Then, of all things, I thought about the arguments we had had. Not that there were scores of endless battles or any residing feelings of contempt, but rather the ire of a child and later a teenager who didn't understand why his mother stubbornly stood in his way. In particular, I recollect a Sunday morning when my mom refused to let me stay home from church. My friends and I were planning to do something, and I just couldn't miss out. However, my mother would not relent, and I ended up going to church. I have no idea as to what was said or taught at church that day, but I do know that the plans I had with my friends were not comparatively wholesome. Well, certainly I didn't want to narrate a negative encounter such as that, or any other argument for that matter. What about all the things she did to help me? As I looked back, I felt guilty for the times I enlisted her to be my typist for my report projects at school. Invariably, I would procrastinate until the paper was due the following day, and she would be typing and retyping late into the night as I handed her my handwritten drafts and revisions. Why did she put up with me? I probed the fringes of my memory into early childhood. Mom raised my older sister and me alone for 2 years between a divorce and marrying again when I was 5 years old. But she was often alone before the official divorce papers were issued. As I hearkened back to those memories, I saw only my mother. Through the eyes of a child, she seemed indeterminately old. Yet, in actuality, Mom was merely in her late 20s, early 30s. Nevertheless, how could I chronicle an event from a time I could scarcely recall? This led me to think about the night before my own wedding. I stayed with my mom and younger sister in their hotel room. We talked about the changes that were about to occur in my life, as well as experiences from hers. Again, there was no profound advice or deep insights of wisdom pronounced. As I caught hold of that idea, it occurred to me that maybe that was the point. Perhaps in all the wanderings of my mind, searching for that ultimate instance of connection with my mother, I had uncovered a treasure of small telltale glimpses of the bond we shared. It was possible that all these things combined spelled out the definition of our relationship. Now that my mind had diverted in this new direction, it kicked into higher gear. Mom wasn't just there for the one game where we lost the state championship. She had been there for most of my games, win or lose, in town or on the road. Not to mention the surplus of other performances, ceremonies, and activities in which I had been involved throughout my life. Mom wasn't just there when I was in the hospital. She took care of me when I was sick or struggling. And Mom didn't just help me with term papers. I remember her quizzing me on the U.S. states and capitals when I was in the fifth grade, and always making sure I had done my homework. I couldn't think of an argument that we had had where she wasn't looking out for my best interest. In her quiet, unassuming way, she had taught me many things. She taught me of simple courtesy by never honking the horn when picking someone up, or waiting until someone got into their house before driving away. She taught me to stick up for people by raising a fuss at the local school board when she felt the school principal was being unfairly ousted. She taught me optimism by pointing out the positive aspects of things when others dwelt on the negative. She helped people who were sick and cared for those who were suffering, putting others' needs ahead of convenience. She taught me of hard work, as she rarely, it seemed to me, watched an entire movie or television program with the rest of us because something needed to be sewn or cooked or cleaned or ironed. So, in the midst of contemplating my life in pursuit of the quintessential mother-son experience, I instead found nuggets of compassion and comfort strewn along the path. As a result, my mother has taught me another lesson. Dramatic storybook tales of affection might make us feel warm and fuzzy, but it is consistent expressions of love and caring, regardless how small, that make the difference. And I guess that's all I really need to know. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for letting me share this personal tribute. And just to reassure you, my mother is alive and well, and I was able to spend time with her this last month as she attended the temple for the first time, adding to another great experience that we've had together. One other clarification, the picture that I posted on the blog with this episode is not actually a picture of my mother and I, but I did think that the woman in the photo looks quite a bit like my mom when she was younger. And I've never had that much curly or wavy hair, so my hair was always kind of straight and more of a bowl cut than that. But, anyway, I hope you have a happy Mother's Day. And until I talk to you next time, journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License. You can share this as much as you'd like, but please don't sell it or change it. The theme music for the podcast is provided by Man in Space.